Jeremy says that a lot smoother when he comes on. How y'all are? How's it going? He's got that smooth down packed. I haven't got that smooth yet. But we've had an interesting few weeks. We got to travel to California and do a wedding. Last time I used this Bible, I was quoting wedding verses and at a beautiful golf course in San Bernardino. And, you know, it's not as nerve-wracking to come to your church and speak, but when you go to California and there's about 80, 90, 100 people gathered at a wedding and everybody's all nervous and grooms ain't supposed to see the brides and the brides are pulling up and running over rocks. And you know, your wife, my nerves are still shot because my wife was yelling at me while I was driving 90 miles an hour from Las Vegas. I was leaving Las Vegas. Ain't she ever watched a movie, Leaving Las Vegas? You got to get out quick, you know? But we just had a great time. And when I call my pastor to pray, because there's a nervousness that comes over you sometimes because you're with different people. And most of those people are Democrats. And most of those people believe in different things. But, you know, there's what God was telling me, that there was a higher calling than what we each believe. There's a higher calling called walking in love. And the Bible says that God is love. And, you know, if God is love, then I ought to be able to love somebody whether I agree with them or not, whether they're Republican, Democrat. You know, as long as they're not trying to stab me in the back, you know, I can pretty well get along with some people. But God kept us safe, and he kept us blessed. And the best part of the trip was me feeding a homeless person. We ate in a nice restaurant. I was buying, and Sammy don't like to throw no food away, especially when I know there's homeless people right around the corner. And, you know, we still have a heart and a little bit of compassion in Arkansas for homeless. But it's become so rampant out there, people living in tents. Just from what I understand, when people's money runs out in the hospital and they have nowhere to go, the hospitals in L.A. get them an Uber and they send them to Skid Row in their hospital gowns. And people are walking down there. There's probably, when you go somewhere else, it makes you really appreciate where you live. I love all my kids. I love all my grandkids that I got to see. I had a great time. But when that plane touched down in Fayetteville, Arkansas, after a week, I was never so glad to be home. And when I went to the homeless ministry yesterday, I was reflecting. And one of the whole things that I reflected on going out there, because sometimes when you got kids and they're not doing right, you know, you want to be like sort of aggravated with them. You think that they should be like you. And I really didn't have a whole lot to do with my kids when they were growing up. But they know I'm a preacher. When I called my daughter today, I asked her where she was. What church did she go to? Well, I knew she was right at home. But I said, you're not in church, because I know the time's 2 hours different. She goes, no. She goes, not today. But I felt this prayer coming to me, which is the Serenity Prayer, even weeks and weeks before I went there. And we do, sometimes we do this, but this is a recovery prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change. There are some things I can't change in my life. There are some family members I may never change, but I can still pray for them and I can still love them and I can still be the best me I can be. Serenity, as me and Brenda looked it up, tranquility, composed, calm, calmness, calm, peace, untroubled. You know, in the Bible in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So sometimes we find ourselves troubled over some things we can't change. Sometimes we find ourselves troubled over some things we can change. In Kenneth Hagin Ministries, I was reading an article, and it says, out of 100% of our worries, 40% of what people worry about never happens. 30% is things of the past that we can't change anyway. 10% is health problems that if you keep worrying are only going to get worse. And then 12% are from criticisms from others that is untrue. So 92% of everything we worry about, there's nothing we can do about anyway. And if we took the time to focus on the 8% instead of the other 92 that we can't change, we ought to be able to change Paris, Arkansas. We just get rid of some of the drama and some of the stuff that we can't change. And as I was driving to the homeless, you know, which is a big thing in my life, I mean, I had a great time. But, man, when we ate at this restaurant, the girls didn't like the spaghetti. I had a half a pizza left. Everybody's full. I told that dude to box that up. They looked at me like, Dad, we're walking around Hollywood, man. What are you going to do? I said, I knew what I was going to do with it, what God was telling me. Because I'd walked past several homeless people on the way there. And I walked for a couple blocks, and I said, God, you got one person that needs this meal. And I looked, and lo and behold, right by the beautiful downtown Hollywood Scientology Church that you can watch on TV on A&E, here's a guy with a backpack, with a beard, laid back. You know, I had to walk to him for a block or so. And I said, hey, dude, I don't want to offend you, but we just ate, man. And here's half of a great Italian pizza and a bunch of spaghetti from the Italian restaurant over here. And if it won't hurt your feelings, I want to give that to you. And the dude got up and said, God bless me twice. And then he said, I'm going to have a pizza party right here, right now. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that made me high, you know? I mean, I thought if you walk down the street in California and marijuana is legal, you're walking by and people are toking and smoking bongs and smoking, you know, it's like you just smell it. It's like, hey, wait a minute, I don't think I was high on the contact from walking by it. I was high on giving that homeless guy something. But as I was on the way yesterday to the homeless ministry, you know, I said, God, man, there's so many problems, even in our time. Some of these people, I hear this, are they the same people that's up there week after week? And sometimes they are. And I said, God, people were complaining because we're giving stuff to the same people week after week sometimes. But yesterday I seen a bunch of different people. And Larry gave me a bag of stuff probably 6 months ago, and it had a nice, really nice Nike coat in it, and I had Nike pants to go with it, and I needed a coat at that time, and he told me, man, if you see something, I actually poured it out. There was three homeless people coming to zip that coat, and I whipped it up, threw it on my back. It was cold that morning, and so, like, God told me, hey, go in your other room, and then there's that Nike coat, and he says, man, I got somebody for that coat, and on the way there, I was talking to God, and he told me, it don't matter what people think. If they're the same people out there, you just do what I tell you to do, because my mercy endures forever. My mercy endures if you're going through a divorce and had a breakup. My mercy endures forever. My mercy goes if your kids ain't serving God. My mercy endures forever. My mercy is for the people that are on the street that are homeless. My mercy is for the people in the church that may not got it together yet. My mercy is for this world still, Samuel McElhaney. Man, I started crying, man. And then I looked over, and here's Bella's dad and Bella in the car next to me, honking the horn. Almost shook me up because I was talking to God, and all of a sudden, here he's rolling the window down trying to get my attention. Next thing I know, I was praying for them because they's on the road with me. And from what everybody says, I ain't the greatest driver in the world. Now, that's Cindy McElhaney's talk. I personally think I'm better than Speed Racer, who was a cartoon on TV, so I don't know if we can compare that, you know? But I got there to the homeless thing, and here's a girl, man, and she's got a little windbreaker on, and I put this whole, I mean, the whole car is filled with stuff people have been given, and I didn't get a chance to go before vacation. There was toothpaste and toothbrushes. There was coats. There was kid clothes. And I seen some people call, and I said, I got this coat. Who wants it? Who needs it? And this one girl that was in a windbreaker shivering started running over there, and I realized that's who God wanted to have that coat. And I took her picture, and she's over there, and she had the biggest smile, and she was happy. And, you know, that makes me high. I don't need no weed. I ain't against them people smoking weed. I guess it's legal, but it's probably expensive. But that makes me high to do what God tells me to do. And I heard him say, my mercy endures forever. In Psalm 136, I'm just going to start reading from the top, read down to about 15 or 16. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. I'm going to go down to 11, 12, and 13. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. Verse 12, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endures forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. I think my message is part right here that I don't know everything, but you know, sometimes the devil attacks us and makes us feel like nothing good's going to happen. Sometimes we get sad, but God's mercy endures forever, even if we made some mistakes. Amen. And that's good news for me because I make mistakes all the time. And going to Lamentations 3:21 and 22. Then I recalled in my mind, therefore have I hope. And you know, I was going up there yesterday and I was talking to God and he was talking with me. And when I seen Brian and Bella, I just started praying for them. I prayed for Bella. I prayed for her dad. I prayed for Casey. And you know, because it came to my mind, you know. And I wanted them to have a good time. She's with her dad. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. You know, the Bible says God's mercies are renewed each morning. Somebody asked me today, I cleaned up the church the first time I used a mower this year since it's been fixed. I wanted to do the church before I did anything else. I have a busy day tomorrow. I seen a kid that works for me, and I grabbed him, and I said, I got to preach tonight. Come on, you can help me. You can help me finish this real quick, and I can do a little bit more. And he goes, well, how do you know what to preach? And I said, well, I already have what I'm preaching. That was in my heart yesterday. But I have it wrote down, and then I have to go home and put a few more scriptures with it and meditate for a little bit. I said, but a preacher, he knows what he's going to say. When I went to California, I didn't prepare nothing. God started putting Bible verses in me about love, and these guys had their own thing. All I did was call my pastor to get a little prayer. Man, there's a brother over there in that red shirt next to Mary that if I call Ernie for prayer, all hell moves over, man, when Ernie prays, because I was like a little nervous about all them people, and I was on that golf course. And now over here is a beautiful gazebo, and over there there's people hitting golf balls. I thought the devil may try to take me out, and one of them guys was going to shoot a golf ball and beam me in the head. But, man, when I went up there and started that wedding, they drove me to get a cart and drive my daughter up there, and we walked down, there was an anointing of God that came over my life. And step by step, and, you know, they had a wedding planner, and the wedding planner was directing us. And, you know, God was directing me what to say even before. And my new son was in the car, and God was giving me things to say, and I started saying it. He goes, I like that. He goes, where did you get that from? And I said, man, I got that from just from hearing God, from listening to the Holy Spirit. And one of it was like, this dude is so sweet. If you guys ever meet him, he's just got a spirit that you will want to love the guy. I can feel the love coming out of him for my daughter, for her kids. And I called him. I said, this is George, the real deal, Devis, just like the boxer. But when them two started doing their vows to each other, these grown-up groomsmen, tough California guys, you know, that like to party, man, they all started crying. Sammy starts crying at the drop of a hat, you know. Just, you know, I knew there was going to be some food, man, after this wedding's over. And after I did my part, I was going to eat, you know. I was ready to cry over that. But, I mean, everything started being, and I'm telling you, man, I felt the Holy Ghost pretty thick. I was even nice to my first wife. And, you know, I still ain't figured out if I like her or not. But I was nice enough to like her, you know, even though she's not at the top of my list. I thought, God, if you can give me the grace to be sweet to these people. Now, being sweet to people don't mean you got to sit at the same table with them. You know, I had the number two table, and when they started calling for food, that number two table was very important because I was over by the food. But I felt the Spirit of God, and it's just like, even though some of these guys may not have been Christians, I seen the tears, and I seen the heartfelt power of God on people's lives, and you could feel love. When I spoke out, God is love, I spoke love into that. Now, there's always a little bit of drama, but we ain't going to go there. Once again, God's mercies are renewed each morning. And, you know, every day when we get up, we got to fall on the mercies of God. There's one thing my pastor's taught me to do, and I wake up, and he showed me how to pray this a long time ago because he prays it. I say, God, let us have no accidents, no mishaps, no breakdowns. Go ahead of us to our jobs. I plead the blood of Jesus over our families. I plead the blood of Jesus over our church families. But I start praying by God, keep us back from accidents. You know, I don't believe in accidents, but I've had a bunch. So I may pray that prayer twice, even going out the door. So after you run, take your wife's Jag that she's had that she really likes and run it into a cow coming home from work because she wasn't supposed to drive it anyway. I mean, you think maybe these accidents ain't really all they're cut up to be. But then when she tells you, well, I was more worried about you than the car, as long as you're all right, makes the guy feel good. And I said, what we need to pray for, because a lot of people I know have hit cows, is we need to pray that the guy that owns this cow comes out. And it's like 3 in the morning. I mean, if I owned the cow, I might not have came out at 3 in the morning. But after 3 or 4 guys and all the police telling me, no, these people don't claim their cows. You're just going to be out of luck. The last guy that pulls up, he gets out, and he's a Christian. And he's a Catholic Christian. And he's a brother in the faith as far as I'm saying. He says, yes, this is my cow. I'm sorry. Here's my number. I'll take care of this. And a few days later, he wrote me a check for the blue book value of the car and whatever it cost to get towed. I felt bad for the cow. They had to put it down. If I knew they were going to put the cow down, me and the tow truck driver might have tried to figure a way to haul that dude in. But it was Saturday morning, Sunday morning. I don't think there was no butcher shops open. But God will take even the accidents and the mishaps sometimes in your life and turn it around. But it's better not to have accidents. Amen? In Psalm 138 and verse 8, the Lord shall perfect everything that concerns us. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. Man, God's mercy endures forever. And sometimes there's things I can't change. And I started quoting that weeks before I went to California because the devil wanted to try to get my mind out of the game, like, oh, this ain't going to work out. Oh, you're going to have a big fight with your kid's mom. Oh, there's going to be a feud. But, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And if you really look at that word spirit, when he's saying that, it's a small spirit. And if God's not giving you that spirit, that means that spirit comes from the devil. That means if you're a Christian, you have the power to command the spirit of fear to come off your mind, to come off your life, to come off your vacation, to come off your children, to come off your mother, to come off whatever the spirit of fear tries to come in and intimidate you. Because faith is the opposite of fear. Yes. Now God will give you the faith. Every man has a measure of faith, but it's up to you to take that faith and get rid of it. You know, man, that was part of my sermon, but when those last couple songs about fear, you know, fear can't stand in God's presence. If you're worshiping God, fear's got to go. Faith needs to rise up. And my wife, my poor wife, y'all just don't know how much poor Cindy had to put up with. Because here we're getting on the plane, and she's never been on a plane before. And I have to tell her about the in-flight movie to Las Vegas being Final Destination. And then she hit me, you know. I said, no, I'm just joking, Cindy. I'm just joking. And Cindy reminds me a little bit, because she's sort of country, reminds me a little bit because my mom sort of always tries to think about what can go wrong. Well, what if you're driving down the road over that bridge and you get a blowout? Well, I try to keep some nice tires on there so that don't happen. And God, He'll give you enough money to, and He'll even make it where you can get some brand new tires. But while I was doing 90, Cindy was saying, you can't drive this fast. 90's too fast. What if we have a blowout? I said, well, Cindy, for what I paid to rent this car, I'm hoping they got four good tires on it, and we don't have that. But right, we were right by where the landing gear was coming back, and I couldn't help it because, you know, I had heard that a couple times, and I got picked on with my drive. And finally, I gave her the car at Bakers, California, and she did fine, 70 miles an hour. I mean, watching everybody, you know, go past you, it was all good. But coming back, we're right by the landing gear, and she goes, is this going to be rough when we land? And I said, Cindy, I just hope one of them tires don't blow out. She looked at me, and you know, when it did a little jump, because you know, sometimes when the plane comes down, I mean, it did a little jump, and man, my eyes got big, you know? The bug eyes from Sam came out there, and I thought, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have did that joke. But God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for with the evidence of things not seen. And, you know, I've never been prouder than Brenda and them. When I was coming back, I seen that they were gone on a little vacation to Oklahoma, her and Angel and Heather. And they were all having fun on spring break. I didn't even know this wedding was planned on spring break. But I said, look at these guys. They're going out, enjoying their family, doing something. I mean, to me, I know these guys. Just to go to Tulsa is a big thing. And my sister Brenda, she's going to have the nicest vacation and go somewhere nice. And, you know, she's not backward. She is the lion. She is the lion, just like the Lion of Judah. Boldness comes on her. Holy Ghost wisdom comes on her. And in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, yes, says, and my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh my gosh. Anybody God's people in here? Now, I got some land that needs to be healed. I have some real estate stuff that needs to be sold. I have some things that I need God to heal in my life. And you know, what I find is a spirit of religion, you're always trying to do something yourself. But God's not into religion. He's into you just day by day, falling on the mercies of God and letting God use you where you're at your job. Jeremy preached just the other day, invite somebody. I invited my mother-in-law all the time. I went over and invited her and told her I was preaching. Now, she might hear this on tape. Next time I invite you, you need to come, Sister Rita. We miss you. We got a seat right here with your name on it. But you know what? I'm going to do what God tells me to do no matter what. If it's just us, we're going to jam for Jesus, amen? But I believe God's going to fill up all these seats until we have to build something else bigger. I believe God's got a plan for this church that rocks our even imagination. And whether you believe it or not, this is a world-class, world-changing, world-going-into ministry. Because everywhere me and Cindy went, man, I was talking to people about Jesus. I was saying a prayer, hey, a girl rents me a jacket. She said, you got to drive 2 hours to Anaheim. This is just where we size you up. I said, hang on. We can't go to Anaheim. The wedding's in 4 hours. And she goes, oh, my God. I said, find one of them there jackets and give me a good deal on it because, you know, it's not brand new. She goes, I can take 10% off. I said, do it. I said, but I need a bow tie, too. And then she goes, well, being your part of this wedding party, we can take 15% off. I started blessing her in the name of Jesus. She started smiling. Now, not everybody in California is anti-God. Not everybody is Muslim in California, but there is some. But everywhere I went, I just felt God with me, and I felt blessed, especially at those restaurants. You can't go into an In-N-Out restaurant and get a hamburger without feeling God. Well, at least that's me. So we're called, and sometimes the thing that I know that sets me back is when I become arrogant and think I know everything, because I don't know everything. Cynthia was telling me to slow down, and I thought, no, I got to drive fast. You got to drive fast, man. That's the way traffic is. When I went to driving school, When I was 16, I never did get a license until I was 32, but that driver school person said, you got to keep up with the flow of traffic. If it's going a little faster, you got to go with the flow. I was doing the best I could. She was a little paranoid about it. But you know what? When she said, what if this is God in me telling you to slow down and you need to slow down? I figured, what a beautiful time to just let Cindy drive and I can check out my phone. And so I said, Cindy, I'm going to pull over right here and you just drive however you want to drive, as long as you want. And whenever you're ready to give the car back to me, you let me know, because I'm getting a little sleepy anyway. So you can't be sleepy and drive 90, especially when your wife's griping. Next thing I know, she was better than Speed Racer. She drove like a professional. And we were behind a truck, and the winds that come in that valley, that Santa Ana wind stuff, blew this truck all the way into the other lane. Now, I thought the guy fell asleep, but we rolled the window down because our car was trying to move a little bit. And it was just the winds when you drive through the mountains and how that comes. So I was glad that she was driving, because that might have freaked me out if the car started moving and trucks. But I told her, you know, God kept us back from accidents, mishaps, and breakdowns. And, you know, I'm not the greatest driver, but I listened to my wife, and I thought, you know, she may be right. You know, God may be telling her for me to slow down, so I'm going to let her take the wheel. But really, Jesus took the wheel. Like that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. And the only other scripture I had was about wisdom. In James 1 and 5, it talks about if any of us lack wisdom, and you know where it says, God grant me the serenity or the peace or the calmness to be untroubled, to accept the things I can't change. But there is some things inside Sam McElhaney he can change. There is some things that me and God can work on, and I can make myself a better listener. I can make myself try to understand why my enemies think like that. I can try to make myself think, why? How can I be a better father? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better son of the living God? How can I be a better servant? How can I do something better? Because nobody else is going to think this for me. I need to get with God, and I need to have wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of us lack wisdom, to ask God, who gives to all men and women liberally. So we need the wisdom and to accept the things I can't change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And God gives us the wisdom if we just ask. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow. Anybody here afraid to let God bless them? God wants to bless you. Even if you're really blessed right now and got more than you need, God wants to bless you more. Even if you got a nice car, pretty babe, I remember when my mom gave me that little T-Bird when I was walking to this church with the long hair and the bandana and no groceries in my stomach. I looked like a hungry kid from Africa coming in, only an American one, you know? And I was walking to this church, and she gave me that car, and I drove it, and I was washing it, and I was like shining it up. And I mean, it was like 15 years old or whatever. It wasn't really the greatest, but to me it was the greatest car. And I remember hearing God say, if you stay with me, you ain't seen nothing yet. You'll drive new cars. Even when I couldn't imagine driving a new car and I thought this was as good as it gets, God's telling me I could have better. So even if you think it's as good as it gets, God's wanting to do better and more blessings in your life. Let him bless you and just do what he tells you to do.
Praise the Lord. Hey, Brenda, get Kelly to come out here, and you too, right here to this. Both of you come out here in just a moment. You know, the essence of what Sam was saying, what I heard mostly is give love, give mercy. Just for a second, you guys. So I mean, that's not a hard message for Christians to understand. I want to just do a couple of things. I usually have my phone on, but it rang, and it's Brian Heiss. I ran into the pastors. Is Casey in there too? Ask.